All right, Snack Attack crew, assemble. Feeling that mid-afternoon slump? Need a protein boost that doesn't involve boring protein bars? Well, let me introduce y'all to my new favorite obsession, Wonderful Pistachios. Y'all, these little green guys aren't just your average nut. They're protein powerhouses, packing a whopping 6 grams per ounce. That's over 10% of your daily value. And here's a confession. I used to be a cracker. You know, the kind of girl who enjoys the satisfying pop of opening each one. But let's be honest, sometimes convenience is king. And that's where their no-shell options comes in perfect for on-the-go snacking. Plus, they come in flavors like chili roasted and sea salt and vinegar, so there's something for everyone, even the picky gals. But here's the kicker. Wonderful Pistachios are a complete protein, meaning they have all 9 essential amino acids your body needs. So next time you're feeling sluggish, ditch the sugary treats and grab a handful of these green gems. I promise y'all they will keep you fueled and feeling your best, whether you're conquering carpool duties or crushing deadlines. And seriously, these are my go-to snack. I keep a bag in my purse. I keep one at the office. I even stash a few on the side of my bed for those late night cravings. This year, I want you to treat yourself to something delicious and good for you. So head over to wonderfulpistachios.com and explore their amazing flavors and sizes. Trust me, your taste buds and your body will thank you. Ladies, let's talk real talk here. You probably have days when the PMS has you feeling like you could eat anything in sight. My goodness, the cravings and the general discomfort. Well, say goodbye to those days with Hormone Harmony from Happy Mammoth. Let's dive into why Hormone Harmony is not just another supplement, but a true game changer. First off, it's not just a trend, it's a phenomenon. Social media is buzzing with women singing praises about Hormone Harmony. In fact, a bottle flies off the shelves every 24 seconds. Can y'all believe that? Now let's talk about Happy Mammoth, the brilliant minds behind this wonderful product. They're all about making your life easier, and that means no compromises on quality. They've meticulously crafted Hormone Harmony using only science-backed ingredients proven to work wonders for women like us. But here's my favorite part. Hormone Harmony contains adaptogens, nature's little miracle workers. These herbal extracts help your body adapt to life stressors, especially those pesky hormonal changes that can throw us off balance. And here's the kicker. Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. It's your secret weapon against those hormonal imbalances that can wreak havoc on your life. From hot flashes and night sweats to racing thoughts and low moods, Hormone Harmony has got your back. And yes, it even tackles the occasional bloat and that not tonight boo feeling. The real benefit here, the real win, feeling like yourself again. That's why countless women are raving about it in over 17,000 glowing reviews. We love a verified product, honey. Now here's your chance to experience the magic firsthand. For a limited time, you can get a fabulous 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code BRAVADO at checkout. So what are you waiting for, homegirl? Say hello to balanced hormones and goodbye to those days of feeling like a roller coaster. Your journey to hormone harmony starts now.
Y'all should know by now that we love progression over here. Let's chat about what everyday progress truly means to us. Whether it's hitting those small milestones or treating ourselves to a little something-something after a month of disciplined budgeting, progress is all about balance and staying motivated. And speaking of budgeting and reaching financial goals while still enjoying life's little pleasures, have you heard about Chime? Chime's checking account offers some amazing features that can help you along your financial journey. Let me tell you about one feature that really stands out to me. Chime's Spot Me. We've all been there, right? Dealing with overdraft fees can really throw a wrench in your financial plans. But with Chime, you can overdraft up to $200 with no fees. You heard me right, no fees. It's like having a safety net for those unexpected moments. Y'all, I had a friend who was always getting hit with hefty overdraft fees. It was a mess trying to sort it out. How do you really get ahead with that? But with Chime, you can avoid those headaches and get back on track with ease. Plus, Chime isn't just a bank, it's a community. With Boost, you can increase your Spot Me limit by receiving boosts from your friends. It's like having your financial back covered by your squad. So, If you're ready to take control of your finances and wave goodbye to those pesky monthly fees, open your Chime account today. Just head over to chime.com/bravado. That's chime.com/bravado. Chime feels like progress. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Spot me, eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Boosts are available to eligible Chime members enrolled in SpotMe and are subject to monthly limits. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details. This one is for my readers. Are you tired of endlessly searching for your next great read? Well, let me tell you about Book of the Month, where the thrill of discovery meets the joy of reading. Sounds fun, right? Okay, so what I adore about the Book of the Month is their meticulous curation process. With just a handful of carefully chosen titles each month, they've mastered the art of making your next read an easy decision. If you're tired of making decisions, let's make it easy. And let's not forget about the fun factor. Every aspect of their service is designed to celebrate the love of reading and make it even more enjoyable for members like us, down to the cute blue box the books are delivered in. Now let me tell you about the April pick. I've tapped into The Husband's a Novel by Holly Gramazio, and let me tell you, it's a pretty interesting read. It gets into the complexities of marriage and identity, and it's set against the backdrop of mystery and suspense. It has a pretty intriguing plot twist, and there's some character development that's pretty good too. So I think you might enjoy it. Pick it up if it interests you. And if you're ready to embark on your next literary journey, head over to bookofthemonth.com. And guess what? They're offering our listeners a special deal. You can use code PASTEL at checkout to get your first book for just $5 this month only. That's code PASTEL at bookofthemonth.com to get your first book for $5 with free shipping always. Come on, my readers. Don't miss out on the chance to discover your next favorite read with Book of the Month. Happy reading.
This is Germany.
And this is Brittany.
And this is the Black Girl Bravado Podcast,
a motivating and encouraging podcast where we focus on building community amongst colorful women alike.
Join us weekly as we sit down and have candid conversations on various topics and issues surrounding self-care, self-love, health and wellness, spirituality, entrepreneurship, and much more.
And trust, if we don't have the answers, we'll call on our expert homegirls who do.
Our goal is to create a safe space for growth, inspiration, laughter, and love, free of judgment, in hopes that after you listen, you're a little more knowledgeable or at least a little more entertained than before.
It's homegirl vibes here. Real, raw, and a little funny.
A lot of fucking funny.
So thanks for tuning in to the Black Girl Bravado Podcast.
Let's start the show, cuties.
Hey y'all, welcome back.
Welcome back, sugar plum poops. I don't know. I know. I'm sorry. I need to, I be trying to come up with these on the fly.
You do,
so
you need to like just write down a list and then every.
No, I like it to be authentic.
Okay, well, sugar plum bloop, poops. That's what you are this week.
Hey, sugar plum poops.
How's it going?
It's going good. How was your weekend?
My weekend was cool.
It was good.
Friday, went to Mom's Bar in Santa Monica.
Mm-hmm.
We went to brunch a couple of weeks ago. We met a bomb ass black woman DJ.
Come on. DJ Bella Fox?
Yeah, so we're following her. So she DJs at Mom's Bar on Friday. So we pulled up there, sat there for a little minute. Then we went downtown LA to the Reserve.
Where another DJ friend.
Yes.
Gets it turned up.
Period.
And that's on period.
And then that was Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And then Saturday, we went to Germany's mom's wine party where we were the help.
Yeah, we were the help. Girl, I said, Mom, your people probably
you
think
you told them. You told what? Her.
I said, they probably think we're your wait staff. She was like, no, they know y'all my kids.
No.
I'm like,
not the way they act.
I'm like, Mom, no.
They think we're their wait staff because we've been at every function serving.
Serving, waiting. But you know, we're going to start doing selling our charcuterie boards. Our charcuterie boards will be sold.
We whipped up some amazing charcuterie boards. They were beautiful.
Yes.
So we whipped them up quickly too. We whipped them up quickly. So we did that. We did our service there. And
community service.
And then what? That was it.
Oh, and then I went to Queen Mary, the horror shit, whatever it's called. The horror shit at the Queen Mary, you know,
haunted,
spooky season.
Haunted.
Yeah.
Haunted.
Yeah, so I did that. Save your coins on that. Save your coins on that. Luckily, I didn't spend my coin, but save your coin on that. That's not something I would necessarily do again, but, you know.
It was an experience.
It was an experience.
You had a good time.
Yeah, I had a good time. So, yeah, it was pretty fun. Sunday, we didn't do anything. I was in my robe all day.
Yeah, I just went to church and then went to get some new moon candles, and then I came home. Sundays go by too fast.
They do.
So I went to get new moon candles, came home, you know, did my traditional adulting, cleaning, cooking, and then did my intention setting.
He's intentional.
And manifesting for my house of intuition candle. And then, yeah, prepare for work, which there's some fires happening out here in LA. I know there's some happening in the Bay too.
Yeah.
But I got the work from home email. So I will, the way tonight's going.
Oh, I wish I could work from home. LeBron James had to evacuate. He had to evacuate his home, which sucks. But I mean, Mother Nature doesn't play favorites.
It doesn't. So, new week, new tea.
Where we kiki with you and you kiki with we.
So, this is our portion of the show where we dish tea on hot topics, things happening in pop culture, you know, that type vibe. And, first of all, I want to give a disclaimer. We've been having some issues with our episodes playing.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully this week it's playing seamlessly. We've been getting some episode not available messages. So we know we're working on addressing it for the previous episodes. But hopefully for this week, you can hear it.
Just stick with us.
And go back. Prayers. Go back. I think episode 16 is where the issue occurred. Go back and listen because those episodes were good. Episode 16, episode 17. In our Embracing Singleness episode.
Yes. And you can get the full tea on the Embracing Singleness episode on Patreon. That was just a little snit tidbit. But if you're interested, follow us on Patreon and get all the tea.
Period. Okay, so tea this week.
What's up? What's good?
I'm a little disturbed by the April and Omarion relationship.
April and Fizz. The April and Lil Fizz.
So, if you're up to date on things that are happening, April and the Little Fizz have been broadcasting, displaying their new love affair.
Do we think this is a pub stunt?
You know, I felt
a pub stunt.
I was telling Kayla that I was like, the way that they're doing this gives me a little bit of like
pub
publicity stunt vibe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, is it just for the check or what? Regardless, like, bitch, where's your integrity and your morals and your values?
Those are out the window. Those went out the door with Omarion.
I feel like she's operated from a broken space.
Okay.
Because she said before, because I really used to stand for April. Not stand, but, you know, I was rooting for her.
We were rooting for you.
I was rooting for her, and I'm like, okay, this seems like a nice woman.
Yes.
But she has expressed before, like, when Omarion decided to call it quits on the relationship, that he just, like, decided she's not what he wanted anymore, and he pretty much left her with no closure. Mm. And she was hurt. She was broken. I mean, she done gave this nigga 2 kids in years.
Ooh, child.
She
Lord
gave
Jesus.
Him 2 kids in years.
That's why I'm taking on the Nicki Minaj. Ain't pushing all this baby Zillia Rada Rock. Okay? Ayo, I been on.
Yes.
Lara Bancroft. Go
That's
ahead.
What she said?
Yeah, Lara Bancroft.
Okay. So.
Please say Chung Lee. Drop the bins.
So anyway, April, you know, did what she did for Omarion. And the way she portrayed the story, he decided that wasn't that anymore, and he decided, you know, I'm out.
Deduces.
She said that she never received any closure, and initially said she was leaning on Lil Fizz. What's that nigga real name? Drew?
Yeah, Drew.
She was leaning on him.
I was
him.
Gonna call him Air Fizz. That's his name on Instagram.
She was leaning on him as a friend for support because she's been known him and all this. So, you know, people were buying that story. While in the background, Moniece was saying that they're a couple.
Mm-mm-mm.
And people tried to gaslight Moniece.
The gaslight.
People tried to gaslight Moniece and say, you're crazy. You don't know what you're talking about. That's just her friend, whatever. And then the truth came to the light. And these motherfuckers appear to be a couple.
What took me out was when she was laying on the bed without her face showing.
And he Fizz had his hand on her ass.
Oh, my God. I said, oh, my God. Oh, my God. I was like, yo.
I'm just like, nigga, Little Fizz, where is your code?
My God.
Both of y'all, where is your code at?
There is none.
This is your bandmate. That's your baby daddy. And then people be like, well,
no.
Women be like, these niggas don't care. You know, they'll talk to your friends. They'll do this and they'll do that. And I understand a lot of these niggas do not care. And so it's like, at what point do we be a city girl? And at what point do we move on with a little bit of grace, dignity, and integrity? Are we city girling and paying back? Or are we deciding to take the high road and going high when they go low?
The Michelle, are we Michelle Obama or are we JT? Are we Michelle Obama or are we Young Miami?
I usually take the Michelle Obama route.
I've always taken that route. Can't imagine fucking on the friend. Oh, no. You are not going to get to taste this pussy. And your friend tastes this pussy. Oh, no. So that if this don't work out, y'all can kiki about me and my pussy. That is not working. Right. That is the death of me. You will not talk about me amongst your friend.
The Mo route.
Yeah.
Michelle Obama.
Taking the Mo route? Exactly. Sorry, JT. Sorry, Miami. I'm taking the Mo route.
Yeah, if that works for you, cool, but yeah.
That is sick.
Anyway, I'm looking at...
Sick nigga, bitch, nigga.
I'm looking at April and Little Fizz like, the check better be good. I know April said she was experiencing some financial issues when...
Oh.
Yeah, she said that Omarion wasn't stepping up fully to the plate with the child support, and that she was going to probably have to move back to Chicago with her family because she couldn't sustain her current lifestyle.
That's why you got to be careful what you're seeing on the gram. Bring that back around. You have to be careful. Everything you see is not all what
it is. She was saying that after Omarion decided that, you know, he wanted to chuck up the deuces, that she wasn't really able to sustain her lifestyle and that he left her high and dry and that she was probably going to have to move back to Chicago with her family. He didn't give a fuck.
I guess those Fashion Nova checks ain't really hitting. Fashion Nova, baby.
I mean, I think they're hitting now, but initially before they weren't hitting. Didn't have the Fashion Nova check.
Wow.
So
what a joke.
Anyway.
Remember the tweet you sent? Joe Budden, somebody said.
Oh yeah, somebody said, we not saying I'm unbothered anymore. We're saying I'm Omarion to the bullshit.
Right. Omarion has
Omarion
not let out
hasn't
one word.
Uttered a word. I mean, I don't know if he's unbothered. Somebody said he better be in album mode.
Dead. He's probably like, I'm not about to feel this fire. There's no, what do you say? What do you say about the mother of your kids and your bandmate? What can you possibly say? Like, yeah, they're sick. Okay.
I would be saying less than boxing. I can't say anything. All I can do is hit.
That's what I'm saying. Like, but like, what can you say? What can you go on the internet?
Monice is tight. Monice has been on the internet and Monice is tight.
Recently?
Yeah, she said that.
I told y'all.
No. She said that she's unable to attend her son's games because her and Little Fish are a son. And... she doesn't want to risk getting into an altercation at the game because she's so
April
tight.
There.
Or even because Little Fizz is there, even if April's not. She's so tight about what has transpired. And her son has been seeing her, Monice, in the negative light because she's always the one popping off while Fizz and April are unbothered and appearing to be angels in the situation. He's a 9-year-old. He can't completely process like who did what, who's in the wrong. And so she's looking like the hothead that can't control her temper, her feelings, and her emotions, rightfully so.
Right.
But, you know, a 9-year-old can't fully comprehend that.
Right, right, right.
So in order for her to just not be in these situations, she has to stop attending her son's games.
I would want to literally kill them both. I don't play that game. I would be like, you see, you raggedy bitch. She would be a raggedy bitch. You're a raggedy bitch. You are a raggedy bitch. Are you kidding me? Like, and we was homies at one point. Everybody was cool. Like, to
April
me.
April and Monice were?
Yeah. I mean, they knew each other. I'm a loyal to the soil type of bitch. I'm not letting.
Same.
I'm not. I would never. If I know you, even to the point of like, I know you know him. I know you fuck with him. I would never.
Yeah.
If it's somebody like 6 degrees of separation type of vibe, like your friend who I kind of know, I'm not going to deal with her nigga.
Exactly.
It's going to be like, nah, because I know she good people. Yeah. It's just not that deep to me. There's plenty of niggas
in the
sea.
There's too many niggas and the niggas that be in the sea.
Like, come on. And the whole thing is, I don't think they think like this is a forever thing. It's kind of like a right now thing.
It's like
thing.
A check thing.
So the fact that it's not a for everything is not like God led you to this person, y'all, the people y'all was supposed to be with each other this whole time. If it's really not that vibe, let it go. There's a knob you can slob on. Slob on my knob. Remember that song?
Like corn on the cob.
Check it with me. And then do your job. Ferg is that name. Oh, no, I'm singing
that. No, you're singing that remix. Singing the,
yeah.
It's slob on my knob.
Like corn on the cob.
Get in the bed and give me head.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was about to say, Ferg is that name. Ben Baller did the chain.
Okay, anyway, so off those raggedy motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Moving on to something more higher vibrational.
Come on.
What are your thoughts on Jesus is King? So Kanye West finally came out with his gospel. I don't know if it's gospel.
Labeled as a hip-hop rap album, but it's
labeled as a hip-hop rap album. Did he intend for it to be a gospel album?
It's a gospel album, but it's categorized under hip-hop rap, which is kind of the controversy. Like, let this man be in the gospel category. Snoop Dogg, when he released his album, it was under gospel.
It was?
Yeah.
Okay, so what are your thoughts?
It's don't at me, y'all. I mean, y'all can't at me anyway because I ain't on Twitter or nothing, but maybe you can at me on Instagram. Don't at me, but I am a Kanye West fan. You know that. I really love Kanye as a creative, what he does musically and sonically. Of course, as a person, as a cousin, he's been fucking up in recent years. We know that. So I thought I was going to really be like blown away by the Jesus is King album because I really can appreciate everything he does musically where I'm like, yo, I really fuck with this.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't quite getting those feelings when listening to Jesus is King. Completely honest, the first intro song, I was like, okay, I'm getting the Sunday service vibes. And then going on, I'm kind of like, you close on, you my Chick-fil-A, close on Sunday. Whatever he said, I was kind of like,
Close on Sunday.
You my Chick-fil-A. I was like, okay, maybe I gotta listen again and really tap in because I was kind of like waiting to be wowed. You know, like as soon as you hear it, you be waiting on a beat to drop,
yeah.
A melody, a bridge, a chorus, something to draw you in.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have those immediate feelings. So, and maybe you know what I feel like it was? After seeing Sunday Service so much online, I was probably expecting like melodies from heaven.
Oh, yeah.
Rain down on me.
Come on now.
Rain down on me. I was waiting on that to be mixed with a little bit. Jesus walks. You know, I was expecting something that I didn't receive. So it feels like my expectation wasn't met. But really, I probably shouldn't have had any expectations for it. And then I probably could have received it with an open heart. But nonetheless, love what he's doing for the kingdom. The kingdom has been elevated.
Okay.
We're the kingdom, and when we're focusing on Jesus is King, the declaration, the statement, I'm here for it.
You see,
I just got to probably listen to the music again.
Okay. I will say that I agree with you with the fact that I wasn't moved. I wasn't moved by the Jesus is King project.
Yeah.
But I will say when I
Jesus
saw,
is King.
For sure. He is king of my household.
In my life.
My
As
heart,
for
my,
me in my house.
We will say that.
We will. Jesus is king.
But no, for real. You know, when I was watching snippets from this week's Sunday service at the Forum.
Yeah.
And I saw snippets of the Jesus is King being performed.
I
could see me being moved.
Okay.
I think the element that he was missing was the choir.
Okay.
Because on the album, it was just like him.
Yeah.
And the beat.
You my Chick-fil-A. But if we would have had the choir saying, you my Chick-fil-A.
Like, you know how Chance the Rapper
had the
full choir for the Coloring Book album.
Yeah.
If he would have had those additional elements pulled into the Jesus is King album.
Then we would have had
something
different.
I can see me really like fully feeling it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I can't say that the album moved me. The thing with Kanye West and this new thing that he's on.
Radical.
He's definitely
son.
Radical. And the thing is, it's not my place to judge. Whenever you decide to come to Christ and change your life, hey, that's on you. But I will say, I still do not agree with the shit that he be saying
as
it pertains to slavery being a choice and backing Donald Trump.
Yeah. And I think he backpedaled, especially in the interview with Big Boy about slavery being a choice. He was like, 2019 was a hard year for me. He was like, with the statements that I made and everything.
But just a couple weeks ago, he was saying something about the Republicans freeing the slaves.
Okay. Yeah, I know. George Bush. I mean, not George Bush.
Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah. Kanye ain't all there. We know he's battling.
And he's admitted. And he's radical. That he's dealing with mental health issues.
We can tell he's bipolar because he's all in.
He's bipolar,
like,
yeah.
My father. I'm only afraid of my daddy. I'm like, okay, Jesus is
and
king.
That's the thing. It's like, I'm torn. If I'm being completely honest, I'm fucking torn. She's torn.
I mean, let's listen to it again this week.
And
let's
the
try
thing
it
is,
out.
I can't say that I have not given it a complete, fully devoted listen.
I kind of was like, this ain't good.
And I'm like, next.
Give my Chick-fil-A. Next. Heard Chick-fil-A, I was
but
like.
Once I heard that at the Sunday service, I'm like, she needed to be in the building because I'm not afraid to admit that I would have been at the Sunday service if I would have been had a ticket.
Yeah,
and my
course.
Hands would have been up because that choir, there are some people from our church who are in the choir.
They are.
And the way they bring it to our service, it seems like it's been packaged up and delivered.
Yeah.
At Kanye's Sunday service. Yeah. So, I mean, you know.
We'll have to listen again and take another.
But people are like, all it takes for black people is for people to say that they came there, they decided to come to
and
God.
And so what? Let it be between him and God. Let it be between him and God if it's genuine. If it's disingenuous, then let it be between him and God.
I feel like if it's disingenuous, it's not my problem.
Right. Like, I'm taking it as what it is, face value.
That's what I'm doing. I'm taking it for what it is. I can say from the big boy interview that it seems genuine.
Yeah. Once he said, I'm only afraid of my daddy. People only called Christ their daddy.
And he came to Christ the same way a lot of people come to Christ, through a traumatic event.
Yeah. Bottom of the barrel. Pit.
I have nothing else to lean on. If you listen to the Patreon, I be coming to Christ the same way. It's yours, Lord, because yeah. I can't.
I'm done here.
And sometimes we need something higher than ourselves because we can't lean on our own understanding.
Yes.
I cannot lean on mine.
Neither can Brother Kanye. Neither can Brother Kanye.
Cannot lean on his. But I will say this. Kim's going to have to switch up her program because there's no way that she can maintain a harmonious marriage.
Sister Kim won't make it. Sister Kim will not make it.
Doing what she's been doing with the radical views of Kanye. Because
I guess we're going to have to just see what happens. We'll see what happens. Let us know. Are y'all feeling the Jesus is King album? What are your thoughts? I wonder how that's rubbing people who are like atheists, agnostic. They probably just don't listen.
Yeah, they're probably like, he's not my king.
Yeah. Jesus ain't my king.
He's not my king.
But he's here. He's ours here. So anyway, on to the next.
On to the next. What's king here?
Are there ratings and reviews?
Period.
In addition to Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus
the
is king.
The ratings and the reviews are king here. We need your ratings. We need your reviews so that we can elevate and rise to.
But y'all came through dripping this week.
You did.
What did we end at last week? 860, I want to say.
It was
868.
68.
Okay, and we're at
877.
877. Okay, so 11, just shy of our 13 reviews per week-ish.
And, you know, that was great considering how we've been having complications with the episodes playing.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for everyone who has came through. We appreciate you. We love you.
Yes.
We want to keep that same energy because we have a goal of 1,000 to reach by the end of this year.
Which means we only need 123 more ratings and
okay,
reviews.
Math. Yes, we only need 100.
I actually did that on my phone.
We only need 123. Like, for real, outside of us trying to reach our goal, these ratings and these reviews are important because they help us maintain visibility in the Apple podcast charts.
Yeah.
We're small. We're independent.
Small
it's
but
just
mighty.
Germany and I. Mm-hmm. And honestly, we don't know what the fuck we're doing. If we're keeping it 100, we don't know what we're doing. So we rely heavily on your support through ratings and reviews.
May I share something really quickly? Can y'all believe there's only 9 weeks left in the year? 9 weeks left in the
Girl,
year.
Girl, I seen this meme to say that this year went by so fast, I didn't even have time to get my shit together. I felt that.
Yeah. When they said that, resonance. I felt. So basically, we need 14 reviews per week because we're at the home stretch. Dead ass, we need 14 ratings and reviews per
week. Okay, it's time to quit fucking playing.
Yeah.
If you were playing before, quit.
Stop. Take off
we're
your play
shoes.
We're
not playing no games. Go in the house, put on your church clothes. We're not playing.
And we're not. And we're going to Sunday service.
Period. So let's do this.
What's good?
So here's our review of the week. Homegirl Neeks says,
hey, Neeks.
A must listen. Hey, y'all. Onique's checking in to pay her dues. A good sis is late on her payment, but I'm here. This podcast gives me life while coming for it all at the same time. I've been listening for over a year now, and this is the best part of my week by far. Y'all come for my edges and then help me fix them right after. And if you aren't a Patreon, you are missing out. Check show notes for that info. Mm-hmm. Thank y'all for being real and blessing us black and brown girls every week. Your homegirl. Thank you, Neeks.
Thanks, Neeks. We're just right. Here. We're the vessels.
Period.
That's it. And that's on period.
And that's on period. And if you aren't on Patreon, you are missing out. We've been...
So let me tell them what Patreon is.
Tell them about how we've been opening it up more. And honestly,
y'all, truly.
Keeping it real. Before we do the Patreon episodes, we're like...
What can we share? How can we give? So Patreon, if you're new here, is a platform that creatives are using to garner support, monetary support from their community. It's a platform that we use to give you more content of what you already love, more transparent. We're able to share a lot more, because the community is smaller, a little tight knit. So if you want
to
know.
And you've offered like a commitment that's sacred to you. So we feel like we owe it to you all to give a little bit more of ourselves, because to us, you're giving a little bit more. And when we say a little bit more, we mean in the form of coins.
Yeah. Yeah. So join us over there. We have our mid-month check-in, tons of bonus content. There's a direct girlfriend gag line where you can call, leave a message, and we'll send you a voice note back about whatever it is you want to talk about, advice that you might need. Because we know some of the homegirls don't like to share their business online, on air. So that's available to you. We have playlists, journal prompts. The feed is available. So
we have affirmations, audio, and video.
So many things. And we have some different type of content that's coming soon. So join us over there at the Black Girl Bravado Podcast. I mean, at the patreon.com/the Black Girl Bravado Podcast.
And that's down in the show notes.
It go down.
Okay. So last week.
I have that. Hold on. You can join us in our Facebook group.
Oh, yeah. You can join us in our Facebook group. So the Facebook group is ran by y'all.
Yeah.
The Facebook is ran by y'all. So if you're in the Facebook group, we allow you to share like things you're working on. And then you guys decide to spark up questions, you share memes. And we really want to encourage you to continue the conversations had here on the show. Like maybe you want to chit chat with someone and your friends aren't tapped in yet. And so if you go into the Facebook group, that's where y'all can start the conversation. Like, what did you think? I thought this, I felt this. Sometimes we chime in. And yeah, so that is the Black Girl Bravado Podcast Homegirl Hangout over on Facebook.
Yeah, join us over there. So last week's episode was episode 117. Are you a pessimistic Patty? Overcoming learned helplessness. So an affirmation that we provided for you all for the week was, I am capable and worthy of changing my circumstances despite what has happened to me. So in that episode, we discussed the concept of learned helplessness. Helplessness occurs when someone repeatedly chases uncontrollable, stressful situations, then does not exercise control when it becomes available. So we chatted about the ways in which learned helplessness manifests in our own lives and how to unlearn behaviors and characteristics that prevent us ultimately from living our best lives. So that episode is available for you now. Again, if it did not show up or you were unable to listen, try to go back and listen. We're trying to fix this issue.
Yeah, because it was a good episode.
It was a great episode. And we want you to tap in. Just bear with us, y'all. Y'all know technology is a bitch. And
Mercury, we're new here.
Mercury retrograde is coming.
It is.
So,
and honestly, that there's been some switches in our systems.
Yeah.
That we're trying to adapt to and learn. Mm-hmm. But we're still
all
standing.
All things are working together.
We're standing. Okay, so this week.
Who are called.
Period.
What's that?
AKA us.
Yeah, we're called.
So this week, wow.
Let's get
so
it.
So there's been some things circulating in the internet.
On the internet.
About love. More specifically, struggle. About love. Love. So a couple weeks ago, maybe last week, there was a meme that went viral of Keisha Kaur and Gucci Mane. Basically, it was a wedding picture of Gucci Mane and Keisha. And they were like, y'all want this Gucci. But Keisha was here for the on drugs Gucci. On drugs Gucci.
That's his little brother, Gucci.
On drugs Gucci. Publicly cheating Gucci. You know,
sick nigga Gucci,
like just all the things that we don't want in a man type Gucci. And y'all leave over one fight. Y'all just throw y'all hands up and say, hey, I'm done with this here relationship. Basically saying that we don't endure.
Yeah.
so we don't receive.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I saw a lot of men and also women, which kind of pained me a little bit.
Yeah.
Like reposting this, like, yeah, like basically like tap in, like, yes, this is a recipe. And I'm like, this, like, why are we essentially saying that the only way to get this is to go through a struggle?
Yeah, 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 yeah. Talk about it.
Like, why?
This is the same thing what happened with Snoop Dogg and his wife. Same thing. He even caught crabs before. I don't know if he transmitted it to her, but he said that on Big Boys Radio. They were like, have you ever had an STD? He said, yeah, I had the little homies. Now, nigga, you come home to me with crabs?
Oh, my God.
Are you crazy? But he was like, you know, a star dealing with all these other
and
women.
She was his high school sweetheart, and she and decided dealt with to it endure.
All. Yeah, endure. And we see that story so often.
We see it. We're essentially taught to glamorize the struggle.
Yes.
Especially with our culture, mm-hmm. the hip-hop culture, just Black people in general.
Yeah, I think that's just in Black culture.
Black people in general, I feel like we're
Black
taught.
Women. Black women, because it ain't Black people. The men don't endure. The men will not endure. They will be gone. The women, we
and
are taught.
So I honestly be like, why is it our culture? Because, I mean, although I'm not completely tapped into other cultures, but if I'm just on the outside looking in, I don't see this happening in the Asian community. I don't see this happening in the Caucasian community. I don't see this happening in the Indian,
Persian, Armenian.
It's like, are they? They're not enduring the struggle.
No, it's so funny us. That then this is like just a personal story. My friend, my coworker, who's I'm Persian, she was saying like, ultimately, like they look for things that we don't look for in a mate. Like, it's not just like, am I attractive to you? It's like, can
Do you
take
have your shit together?
Period. And that's on period. When I'm bringing this man home, is like, I'm going to present him to my family. Can he take care of me? And she mentioned that about her daughter. She said, I said, oh, what if your daughter wants to date like outside of her race? And she said, that's fine as long as he can take care of her. That was the first thing she said. She was like, I'm fine with that as long as she brings home someone who can take care of her.
And I can honestly, that's not culture, a criteria people, for us.
Not for Blacks. No.
It's not that's a criteria not how we raise for them up. Us. We are not raised up to say he needs to be able to take care of you.
No.
It's like, oh, y'all like each other. That's cute. Okay.
Yeah, it's not. It's yeah.
We don't. And the thing is, it's really like framed. If we're seeking someone to take care of us, if that's like one then of our primary objectives, we're gold digging. We're lazy. Mm-hmm. We're just looking for a come up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like you can't take care of yourself.
Boy.
Why is it that in every other culture that's acceptable except for ours?
Every other culture that's demanded. Like, how can you? People literally. What is that called? Arranged marriages based on families who are more, you know, esteemed. Like, your son can marry my daughter because I know your son has the tools and resources to provide for my daughter. I'm not going to give you my daughter's hand in marriage when
you can't provide.
Period. That's the whole point of me giving my daughter away, because I'm already taking care of my daughter. I'm making sure she has all she needs.
Right.
It's crazy.
And so because of that, because in our culture, it's not necessarily accepted or seemed as the norm, I feel like, and statistics show that Black women,
pardon me,
Black women are more prone to lower their standards, take whatever they can get just for the sake of having a relationship.
Yeah.
And I'm tired.
It's all. This only comes with love, though, you know, because we don't glorify the struggle when it comes to entrepreneurship. We don't glorify the struggle when it comes to working hard. It's like, hey, I just want to get
the immediate quick fix.
I want the quick fix. I want to know, how did you get there? What did you do? Because I'm not trying to go through the bullshit. Struggle. But we're taught to glamorize the struggle when it comes to love. It's like, you got to fight through the valley lows. You got to
the love drought. And that's through hell. We went through hell with heaven on our side.
Period. It's like we gotta, when it comes to love, it's like that's what makes it true. Like, y'all been through some shit. Oh, it's true love. No. You get what I'm saying?
I totally get it. And that's like, my thing is like, at what point do we draw the line? Like, at what point is it like, okay, we've been through some things?
At one point is giving in is not giving up. It's like, it didn't work. This don't work for me no more.
Right.
Doesn't mean I'm giving up, because it was nothing to give up on, baby boy.
And there's been like so many examples of this, and I'm just going to use like pop culture references because that's what a lot of us rely on.
We went through heaven, went on, hell through on.
So of course there's a Gucci Mane and a Keisha Kiore. and just to piggyback, we'll come back there. There's a Gucci Mane and a Keisha Kaur, Beyonce, our beloved queen.
Yeah.
Beyonce.
They were married, though. They were already married when all that drama started.
And that's where there some people differentiate. Like, do you struggle if you're in a marriage? Do you just endure the struggle because you're married? And if you're in a relationship, you don't have to?
No. But the whole thing is, I can see a person being like, this is my marriage and I'm going to give everything I have. If that's counseling, if that's figuring out how do we come back to our center to figure out how to make it work, because we can't just throw it all away. We took vows, versus these niggas get in a relationship with us and want us to give the marriage effort without the marriage energy.
Right.
So, I mean, if you're unhappy in the marriage and it's been a long time of you giving everything you've got and it's still struggled, then exit.
Yeah.
But if you haven't got to the point where it's like, we're working through it, we're trying to figure it out. If you're staying for the kids, probably not a good idea. Yeah. If you still feel like there's love there, then yeah, keep pushing.
And I can understand how people will fight harder with the marriage. Yeah. Like you did say, there is vows. But you know what I notice a lot of the time? Sometimes we enter into the marriage and take vows when the foundation is not even sturdy, because we're building it on the back of a struggle.
I understand.
It's like, we put in this much time and then eventually you decided to marry me for whatever reason, whether it's time or...
Time. It's usually time.
Yeah.
Time.
And so we decided to take it to the next step, although maybe we shouldn't have.
Yeah.
And now I feel like I still have to endure the fight.
Yes.
So there's Beyonce and Jay-Z, Emily and Fabulous.
Now she's been beat up upside her head, teeth knocked out.
And then you know what I see now? Because Fabulous has decided to
turn over
his love for her. Post on her social media, although we try to make that very minuscule. It's the thing, because he wasn't doing it before. And, you know, declaring his love for Emily. Mm-hmm. But it's like, at what expense? I had to get my teeth knocked the fuck out.
And have everybody on social media
know. I had to be publicly humiliated. I had to have you be seen with numerous other women.
Have you going back and forth with my daddy outside because you slapped me in the face. The fuck? And then she's probably like eating it up, like, Fabulous posted me on his Instagram.
Chrissy and Jim
Jones. Oh, Lord, Chrissy. Somebody get Chrissy.
Somebody check on Chrissy.
Yeah, Jim Jones.
Chrissy and Jim Jones. And then even in TV shows, that's where it really starts to pain me. I'm like, why are we portraying these stories on these?
That's our dog, y'all.
Our dog is cutting up.
Yeah, she's
why are we portraying around these stories on our TVs, like Love Is. I love the show.
Love the show too, but we had already acknowledged, even when we were kind of talking about it, you, Kayla, and I, we were kind of like, yeah.
There's elements of struggle here.
Yeah, Yasir is doing too much.
Yasir was doing too much while Nuri basically, was if you every didn't black watch one. Love Is, go back and watch it. And unfortunately got canceled because the struggle came to light, the real life struggle.
Yeah.
So Nuri, she had her shit together. Educated, employed, bought her own house. The bitch was together.
Yeah.
She fell in love with this man who didn't have his shit together.
Yeah.
And he was basically dragging her. He hadn't fully disconnected from his ex. He didn't have his shit together. He didn't know what he wanted. He had moved in basically into Nuri's home. And I mean, it's like she was just taking
everything on the chin. Isn't it kind of like, I'm not going to say I didn't see Love Jones, but isn't it kind of like a Love Jones vibe?
Yeah.
And a Love and Basketball vibe?
Love and Basketball.
Monica took so much.
Monica took so much from Q. They were going through the struggle together. He decided, hey, he wanted to move on and was going to marry
Tyra Banks.
But then he decided, oh, actually, I don't want Tyra Banks. I'm going to come back to you, Monica.
Right.
And we're going to make it work.
We've seen it so often.
Elements of struggle.
We've seen it so often in our stories,
And that's why it's normalized.
Yeah.
That's exactly why it's normalized, because we see it in all of our culture, yes, riddled throughout, that we should be accepting this struggle.
It's pretty sick.
And I'm tired of it. You know why I'm tired of it? Because I, too,
have done this.
I too have been a victim of struggle, love.
Of course, same.
It's easy to get like your perspective jaded because like
we don't see anything other than that.
We don't see anything
growing up, you see that grandmama got to deal with granddaddy.
And I think that's where the problem, that's the initial root of the problem, because it's like Grandma was with Grandpa for 55 years.
And they endured all of this. But, Grandpa, let me tell you something. My ex-boyfriend, whatever. I'm just saying. Ooh, that was weird. His grandfather point is, you know, in the olden days, they would have a whole other family taking care of hella people, you know, and it's like, we still endure, and it's like, why? And a lot of times it's like, do you have the means to provide for all the kids that you have?
And that's all
it comes down to, a provision thing, you know, like, can you leave? If you wanted to leave, could you leave? Could you take care of yourself? No. So then you stay for the kids, you deal with this, deal with that, until it's on the bright side.
Yeah.
Went through hell with heaven on our side.
And that's the part that pains me. It's like, why do we as Black women have to go through all the struggle to possibly get a bright side? It's not even a guarantee. It's like a possibility. So you have to go through all this pain, all this hurt. You get broken down.
Yeah, I can't.
To possibly get see the light good at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
Like, why does that have to be our trajectory? And I'm sick of it. And I'm sick of people like normalizing it as if that's the only way for Black women.
Because the vibe is like, if it's easy, pardon me, y'all, sorry. If it's easy, like, it's not real love. It got to be hard. We got to struggle a little bit. And I've said this in the past, but, like, there's a thing with something being difficult. It's the thing. It's different from you struggling to get to a place with somebody that you love. Right? Like, we're going through hard times. We're learning about each other. We're both being stretched. We're growing. Versus, like, I'm struggling to love you. Like, it's a struggle.
Yeah.
Like, nigga, you're dragging me. I wish I wasn't even in this situation, but I love you and I can't let go. There's a big difference between that or it being like tough. Things are tough, but when it's an ordeal, that hits different.
And sometimes we confuse love for an unhealthy attachment.
Come on.
Like you're saying, I love you. No, I'm just unhealthily attached because I feel like maybe you're the only person for me.
You're the only option right now. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I have to fully commit myself to this. And for what?
Talk about it.
So there was an article.
Yeah.
That I think perfectly portrayed this. Mm-hmm. It was on Medium by a woman named Ara Ilo Kabuji Chukwu.
I think you did that great.
Thank you.
Given the fact that
I wanted to
this
try.
Is probably Nigerian.
I believe she's a Nigerian sister.
Wow. Hey, Ara.
But she wrote an article. It was a good read. We'll put it down in the show notes. Mm-hmm. And it's basically called Struggle Love is Not a Badge of Honor.
Yes.
And Germany and I both read this. Our edges were fucking snatched.
Snatched, okay.
Points were made.
Yes.
And we were like, oh yeah, we got to bring this to the girlfriends because if you were asleep,
Wake up. Alarm clock's going off.
Wake up. And so we'll just elaborate on a few points that she made.
Yeah.
So one point that she made was that we're conditioned to believe that marriage is something you do for a woman, a reward, if you will, not something to do with a woman.
Period.
And
that's
niggas,
pretty straight and plain.
Niggas really package it up like this.
Yeah, like I'm doing this for you. You want to be married, right?
Right. Like you're doing me a favor.
Yeah.
When essentially this is a partnership. Like we should be both equally benefiting from this marriage. It's not something you're doing for me. We're doing this for us. Yes, the man does initiate the marriage with the proposal because you're supposed to be leading.
Which is why it takes so long too, because you think you're doing me a favor. So you're going to do it on your time. Like, hey, I can't completely give in because it ain't really what I want is what you want. So I'm going to do it when I'm good and ready because I ain't ready when you're ready. And this is something I'm doing for you.
And that's what makes us stick around because it's like, you're doing this for me. So I'm waiting for it to be granted with this grand privilege of you deciding that I'm worthy to be married. After I done carried you.
On the back.
And this.
On the back.
On my broken back.
Period. On my shoulders. Looking like a fucking.
Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Daddy. You know you put your kid on your shoulders walking through the park. Now I'm walking this nigga through the park.
Walking you.
Trust me. I know the vibe. I know the vibe.
It's like, bruh.
And they let us say like. So just a hot moment. Honest, open, and transparent moment. When I was like in my relationship or towards the end, my ex-boyfriend, and mind you, we had been together almost 10 years, almost a decade, did a bid.
Yeah.
He was like, I mean, I'm ready to do all this shit you want to do. Like, I'm ready to like get married. And
that's
I was like, bro,
they say.
Do all this shit I want to do. I was like, bro, I'm not even on that vibe right now. That's what I told him. I was like, you had to catch me a couple years back.
Yeah.
When it meant something to me. At this point, at 31, at 31, she's good. You know, like you're not doing it for me.
Right.
That's what I need you to realize. You're not doing that for me. We would be doing that together because that's something that we both are anxious for or desiring or wanting. And we're at this level where it's like, it makes sense for us. You ain't doing me no favors. You're not.
Yeah. So
and
don't
you're not.
Don't dangle it over my head. Same.
And they do the dangle.
I was told like,
I'll be ready next year.
I was planning to marry you.
Yeah.
Nigga.
Yeah. They love to plan.
I was planning to marry you. You're going to be my wife. How?
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 How? Yeah, the planning to marry is a big one.
Like, you're not moving me with the quote-unquote plans that you had. Nigga, nothing was coming to fruition and the tools weren't even in place. So, yeah. I mean, like.
They love to do the plan. I was planning to marry you.
When, yeah, man? All of a sudden. All of a sudden, plans were made.
Yeah, plans were made.
Please. But they really do frame it as if, like, it's a favor. And it's like,
yeah, bruh, like, I'm giving
because
in.
Because at the end of the day. You would probably be benefiting from the marriage more than I. I think that's one thing that's not spoken about a lot. And granted, on. I'm not married, but wives, speak up.
Come on, wife.
The wives, I want to be honest. The sacrifice of a woman.
Sacrifice. The wife paid the price. Okay.
The sacrifice of a woman
come on,
is
talk
unmatched.
About it. Come
yes,
on.
The man does lead. You know, I'm not discrediting from the women who have husbands that lead and
I need
guide.
My husband to just guide. Don't leave nigga.
I'm not discrediting from the women who have amazing husbands. But from my
examination
observation and from some personal testimonies.
Come on.
The women sacrifice a lot. Like they do.
Yeah.
The women are taking care of these kids. They're still working these jobs. They're taking care of the household. They're holding it down in ways that they don't even speak of.
Come on.
To where it's really an asset. To these motherfucking men.
Right.
What would you be doing without me?
Nothing.
So don't ever try to frame this as if you're doing me a favor.
You would be starring a role in Tyler Perry's Daddy Girls.
Don't ever try to frame it as if you're doing me a favor.
Nigga, I've elevated you.
We're both helping each other. Yes, you've provided me with a nigga around this house to make me feel safe and secure.
Come on.
But at the same time, I'm providing you with benefits that are unmatched.
Come on.
Don't ever try to play me.
Don't try
as
to
if
play
you did me.
Me
a favor because... You've leveled up.
You've leveled up.
By having a bad bitch on your arm. But anyway, I'm like, yeah.
Got a good thing going with a bad bitch. So let me tell you, another quote that was pulled out that we want to talk about is, and this is directly from the article, the ride or die chick isn't a myth.
It's not.
She's a grown woman now. She's our aunties, our cousins, our mothers. Truthfully, she's some of us. She's the caveat to every 20-year-old dead-end relationship,
Ooh. The
exception to every rule. She's the pinnacle of holding a man down, devoting her life to providing her worthiness to a person who has chosen not to see it, finally having all her resilience pay off in the final hour. And when the man finally comes around, it will be a result of his deflated perception of himself, not because of an inflated perception of her. A man who waits until his health has run out only to commit to you in his sickness is asking you to fulfill vows that he himself is incapable of. Marriage doesn't just mean help me get through my worst. It means benefit from me at my best. And that, my child, was a read.
So to give some context, this article was written because the woman who wrote this article had saw a video of a man who was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And in the wake of this diagnosis, he decided to propose to and marry his girlfriend of 23 years.
Long-term girlfriend, yeah.
His long-term girlfriend of 23 years. And people were like, finally, you gave her what she deserved. Yes.
You made an honest woman of her.
You made an honest woman out of her. And the way this woman saw this article, I mean, this occurrence, which I wholeheartedly agree with, is like, you decided.
Right. When you had nothing left, when you felt you were at the bottom.
When you were at the rock bottom.
Yeah.
When you wanted the through sickness and through health, because nigga, you're sick.
Yeah.
And not to discredit, the cancer do not come for. But when you decided that you really needed me because I've been here holding you down, that now... Wow.
This is the perfect
she
time.
Deserves because yeah. of. I'm
and it's not
bottom.
A she deserves. We deserve.
But you know what?
When Don't I make watched it about me the, deserving.
When I watched the Gucci Mane interview with Charlamagne. Charlamagne, who has proven to have some sick ass ways. He has said multiple times again that he's been with his wife for 20 some odd years and he's only been loyal to her for 3.
Which is sick. Yeah. I hate when he
every says, time he vocalizes that, I cringe.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Bruh, quit saying too. That.
Yeah, I would be like, hey, stop putting the time frame up. Just stop saying we married if you're gonna follow up. And I've been a faithful man for 3 years. Like, bro, they've been married for what, 5?
I don't know. But anyway, so Charlamagne was interviewing Gucci Mane, and this was after that meme had went viral. And he was basically asking Gucci Mane, like, what made you decide to marry Keisha? Because they had been together for some years.
Yeah.
He was like, what made you decide to marry Keisha? Here I am, waiting for some profound answer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Gucci Mane was basically like,
she held it down.
I went to jail. I had found out what my time was going to be. And me and Keisha wasn't even on good terms at the time because I had dogged her out, did her so wrong. Mm-mm-mm. But I basically needed her at the time.
Oh, my God.
I needed her. I called on her because she's the only person I could trust. These niggas love to say you're the only person I can trust. But
you're my best friend.
You're my best friend. You're the only one I can trust. But you're not treating me with the respect that I deserve. And I'm the only one you can trust. So Gucci Mane was like, she was the only one I could trust at the time. Basically, I needed her to be there for me because I didn't trust anybody else that I was dealing with at the time. I knew I was going in to do a bid.
Yeah.
And I needed a reliable person. Keisha, being the black woman that she is, decided, right, I'm going to hold you down because this is a trying time for you.
And you know we'll hold down.
She held him down when he was in jail. He had this revelation and decided when he got out of jail, wow, she was there for me. She held me down. Now
she deserves.
She deserves.
I think it's sick. I think it's sick.
And it's like, why? My question is, why in so many instances is that the only chance that us black women get the commitment?
Yeah, talk about it.
Why? Why do I have to be broken to the
core?
And
just like Lizzo said, why men gotta be gray till he be great, whatever she said.
Like, why do I have to be broken to the core? Fucking prove to you I can withstand. I made it. I was here although you dragged me and you did me so wrong, publicly humiliated me.
I wish I could take a video of Brittany's arms
publicly
up.
Humiliated me and I'm still standing. Give it to me. I earned it. Why is that us?
I'm still standing.
Like, why does that be us versus, wow, when I first met you, I saw your potential and I saw that you would make a good partner.
Yeah.
And I want to do this life thing with you.
Yeah.
Why do we have to be dragged in the mud? I'm coming up bloody, muddy, barely walking, and you decide to slip a ring on my finger and then I have to hold it up, teasing like a Chester cat. Why? Can you tell I'm tired? Can y'all tell?
Yo. You have me in tears.
No, but for real, when I was listening to that, I was like,
that is.
I was like, I'm not moved.
I can only speak from experience.
Charlamagne was like, yeah.
I can only speak from experience that, like, that be the vibe. Anytime these men make you wait 7, 8, 9, 10 years, it's like, what we waiting on?
I have a new limit.
If you, what is it?
After
3 years?
After doing my 7-year bid, 2.
Oh.
I feel like 2.
2 is a good enough.
I feel like 2 is, and 3 is my max.
I'm good with 2. I'm good with like dating casually for 6 months, mm-hmm. being official by like 7, 8 months, within that year being like official and dating for 1.5 to 2 years. Like, bro, if you don't know that I'm the woman that you need forever after 2.5 years of seriously dating,
what are we doing?
Then go find whoever she is and leave me the fuck alone so he can find me. Like, if it's not a vibe and everything's going well.
I don't got no more bids.
I don't have any more bids.
I don't have any more bids.
I can't do any more bids. I cannot.
I've given a lot of time and I've given a lot of energy.
And here I am, 31.
And within that time and energy you've given, I've gained a lot of insight.
Of course.
I've gained a broader perspective.
Yes.
And I just know that it doesn't take that long.
No.
It doesn't take that long. And you know,
these white folks be married after 2 years.
They do, but this is why that I feel like we not really were told, but people should tell young women more often. You don't have to commit to something serious in your early 20s.
No, you
don't. Like, you don't have to give those formative, valuable years when it comes to, like, love and relationships to people, because a lot of the times men mature way less than women, way slower than women.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're forced to deal with that lack of maturity. And we call it being a ride or die or holding them down. And it's like, you don't even reap the benefits a lot of the time. Or you do reap the benefits at the expense of
being with somebody 10, 12 years. And the thing is, like, yeah, when you're with somebody when you're young, you start wanting things before maybe the time is right. Like, if you get with somebody at 10 years, after 6 years of being together, I mean, if you get someone at 20, after 6 years, you're going to be looking like, what's next for us? But, like, you're already so young.
Yeah.
Like, you're young. They're younger. If they 26, really, in their head, they're 21. They just turned 21.
Yeah.
They're not ready. Some people are. And I'm not negating the fact that there are some men who are like, this is it. Maybe they raised different. They hit different. But a lot of
some men are, but a lot of men aren't.
Yeah, a lot of them are still like, I'm not really ready. I'm kind of young. So, you know, just bear in mind, like you said, you don't owe anybody your formative years. If you guys are dating and it's no big deal and things are going good, but if it's riddled with struggle, let it go. You don't have to sit in it just because I've been with you, and because that's what it'll be. Riddled with struggle.
Yeah.
What's good?
Okay, so another quote that we pulled from the article, it says, and far too often, Black men assert that marriage is for time-worn men who've exhausted their better years and tighter options, not for men who still have things to lose or gain. The notion that after you've had your reckless fun in life, you latch onto some man's daughter and burden her with the aftermath of those reckless decisions is not a myth in Black social circles. And because patriarchy assesses women's worth based on their attachment to men, mm-hmm. Black women knowingly take the shitty deal and are applauded for doing what many others would scoff at.
Yeah, which brings me back around to what my coworker was like. If I was telling her something about something, it's Becca, I would say, oh, you know, but this and this and that, talking about, like, say, this is just hypothetical. Like, well, we're still trying to figure out how to do this. She'll be like, really? That's somebody you want to date? Just like, is that kind of vibe.
Yeah.
She just is honest, like, but Germany, he doesn't have this together. Like, just right in Black women, we'd be like, he ain't got no job,
but he's
grinding. Girl, on what?
Yeah.
Cue the clips.
And you know what I struggle with? Because I've had this conversation with men that I was involved with, and I really begin to, like, second guess my decisions or doubt, like, my convictions because of, like, conditioning and just, like, did I make the right decision? Like, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Mm-hmm. But I struggle with, like, what is, like, the threshold or what is the limit? Because, mm-hmm. like, when you do date someone in, like, your 20s and we understand that men mature slower, is there, like, some leeway that we give, you know, like, for maturity and growth? Is it like, do I have to stick around until you're in your 30s and you have this awakening and where it's like, okay, now I'm in my 30s and now this is a time where I decide, like, to do better and to quit playing games.
I think even before the 30s, because we shouldn't be obliged to wait until 30. I think if we're on the same page, we vibing, and I'm not tripping, you're not tripping, and we both know the end goal, then okay. I don't think there's leewayness. I don't think you have to wait and give a nigga leeway. If you're happy in a relationship, because a lot of times people are happy. Maybe it's not like, she got to be my ride or die chick, but like, I'm happy with things are going. We travel, we have fun, and when it happens, it happens. But if that's not your attitude and you're forcing yourself to stay in something, hoping that this, like, holy moment, this, like, moment arises, then no, there's no leeway. So I think it's about the way you feel in the relationship.
Yeah.
You know?
And ultimately, that's what I do go back to. Like, how do I feel? How did I feel? Like, you're not going to convince me that this is, like, the trajectory of everyone who's in a relationship. Like, everybody goes through things. Everybody struggles.
No.
You have to set your own threshold of what struggle
means.
It means.
And what you're willing to struggle for.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times we're not struggling for, like, okay, babe, we're going to grind it out and we're going to get to the other side. We be damn near struggling by ourselves.
Yeah.
It don't even be.
The men don't even be struggling.
No. We just be like, I'm going to hold them down. He ain't even asked you to hold him down. You just giving in and doing whatever the fuck he...
Waiting on the potential
to manifest. So another quote that we pulled out is, marriage already requires more labor, more sacrifice, more change, and more give giving from the woman at the very least. It should be done with the part when the partnership is in its most productive state, not when only one person is capable of contributing.
Just what you said.
Yeah.
Both people.
Both. With an F.
It's a partnership.
Yeah, we both gotta come to the table, you know, with a little something and wanted to make it better. But a lot of times it just be the homegirls. Like, girl, we gonna get married and things are gonna be good, and then the shit already be in shambles and you think that the marriage will make it better. But it should be like, no, we both got something to contribute. We're both youthful. We both got a lot of life to live. We both got a lot to express.
We're both driven.
We're both oriented. Like, all right, well.
Are independent.
We've been doing this all this time, and now here I am.
Yeah.
What else?
So this quote hit. Marriage isn't the prize you get for being the last woman standing after a man has exhausted all other resources. If we keep allowing ourselves to be convinced that love is all we need, that a piece of a man is better than no man at all, and that later is better than never, none of which is true, we'll continue to accept relationships that lack purpose and reciprocity.
Mm. Just a read. You read it. You said it. Take it in, ladies.
We'll accept it.
Accept it.
The settling for a piece of a man is better than no man at all.
And that it'll come sooner or later.
My God.
At some point. Which leads us into this next quote. We are deserving of love that feels good, that affirms us, and that meets our expectations. And we shouldn't be asked to wait decades to get it.
Decades.
Which is true. People be dating for 10, 20 years, 30 years. She's not exempt. I'm just saying. I mean, and the only benefit of the doubt that I would give that is that I started dating my like previous partner relationship when I was very young, you know, so 10 years goes by fast when you're 18, 19, 20, that time flies.
Yeah.
But you know,
you progressed in that time.
I did progress in that time, but I'm saying that thinking back on it, when I wanted to be married at like 24, 25, 26, I'm thankful.
Yeah.
That it didn't transpire because like, no, I wouldn't want to be dealing with being nobody's wife right now. That's just me personally. No tea, no shade to anybody who did get married younger or is married younger. That's not I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But you know, if I was right now 31 dating somebody and 5, 6, 7 years, 8 years roll by, I'd be like, nigga, get out of my house.
Period.
Just go. Because I can't date you for 10 years and we're 40.
Yeah, no. It's not an option.
No. It's not a vibe. And again, this is just us speaking our opinion and the way we feel about it. If it's a vibe for you and you cool with it, then please
maybe
don't feel attacked.
Maybe it's not struggle for you. But I have identified where it's felt like struggle, and I can be honest and admit that I've tried. It's been normalized. The struggle has been normalized to me. And I felt like, you know what?
This is
okay.
Is. Yeah.
This is what everybody else is going through because of what's been portrayed, the messages
the
that I received, the struggle of propaganda. And it's like, this is what people, how many times do you see people like do their anniversary post or their relationship post? Like, we did this, we made it through hell and back, but you're the one that I love, you're worth it, you're this and that, to where it really becomes
normalized. Like I see, like, oh, it takes a lot of work. It can take a lot of work, shouldn't take a lot of struggle.
And the thing is, what we really need to figure out is what's the work? Yeah. The infidelity, the dragging me, the publicly humiliating me, the not valuing me, that's not work that I gotta go through. That's not my job. I don't like that kind of work.
Work is like, I gotta pray for you. Work is like, we gotta get our finances together. Work is like raising these kids. Work is like spiritually reparenting our inner child. Work is like going to therapy.
Yes.
Work is like, how do we love each other better? But nigga, dragging.
Come on.
I'm just saying.
Tell them what the work is.
Work is like, hey, I need this from you. You need this from me. How do we bring it to
work
the table
together?
Work
is figuring out love languages and figuring out how to love each other in their love languages because it doesn't come natural to me.
No, yes.
But work is not me going through your phone and finding that you texting multiple bitches and shit that you know that you're not supposed to be doing.
Work is not
me having to cope with you having a side baby.
Come on.
Now that would take me completely
That's
out.
That's not work.
But you know, we really were reframing
looking
that as
at you
work.
Liking stuff on Instagram or talking to these girls or
gassing
what
these
have
motherfuckers
you.
Up and you're not gassing me up.
Gassed up, shoddy.
But we're calling.
I didn't get naughty.
That's not work.
That's not work, y'all. That's not work.
That's not work. That's not the work.
That's not the work Rihanna was talking about.
Yeah.
Work.
So let's talk about some ways that you can move past the struggle of.
Yeah.
The questions that we ask ourselves so that we make sure we don't fall into struggle of. So ask yourself these questions when you're dating a man or staying in a relationship.
Yeah.
Am I aiming high and setting my sights on quality men, or am I subconsciously aiming low and settling for low quality men? You know, that's the vibe.
Yeah. Our dog. If y'all hear her, just disregard. But yeah, that is the vibe, you know. Am I, and these are things that you can consider, because a lot of times we'll be like, oh, I have this, but he don't have that. It's that energy where you just don't have any clue and you end up settling because you're settling. So another question is, and this one hit home. This was resonance. Am I encouraging myself to focus on a man's potential and overlook who he is now? So truthfully speaking, hot moment, I know that myself, I've always looked at, well, he's going to have it together in the future. He will, you know, all of this will pan out and things will be better for us, or we're going to be doing this in a few years. But we don't consider, like, what does my partner bring to the table here and now? What do they look like here and now? Because here and now could be good and the potential can be great. So I think that's something that we have to consider. What does it look like now and where are we going? How good is it going to, how good is it going to get? Because we don't think about that. We would suffer with a nigga's potential and just say, he gonna get there, y'all.
The potential is like a silent killer.
Yeah.
Because I do have the tendency to like see potential in people.
Yeah.
And also like the things that they tell us.
Yeah.
Like, you don't see what I'm like, I'm 25 right now. When I'm 30, you think I'm gonna still be doing this?
Yeah.
Like,
actually you are.
You can. Yeah. There's motherfuckers that are 50.
Yeah.
Still doing this. So at the point where I am right now, I need a ready made nigga.
Mm-hmm.
Like with the potential, it's risky.
Yeah, it is. We too old to be dealing with potential.
It's a sick game. It's a sick game. And I understand if like a lot of our listeners are younger, and we get it.
But that's why we're here.
That's why we're here, to let you know that.
Because nobody
was telling me either. Potential is not enough.
No, potential is not a thing. Period. And that's on period. You need to find this nigga. If he going through school and doing all of that and y'all both in college, okay, fine. You know his career path. But if you getting a nigga outside of college, no, seriously, you know, because that's the difference.
Yeah.
If you getting him outside of college and he's telling you he's a this and he's a that and he's going to do this, but ain't nothing right now showing the fruits of that labor, then you got to make some sound decisions.
All we have is the present.
Yeah.
And you will get yourself in some shit.
Mm-hmm.
Focusing on the future.
Yeah.
All we have is a present. What are you showing me right now?
Yeah.
What have you been showing me? Hey, if you decide to change and it's meant for us to be, if it's written in our destiny,
yeah,
and you come back around, change with that potential that's manifested, great.
Mm-hmm.
But for now,
no.
You're a sick nigga.
Bitch,
okay,
nigga.
Okay, here's another question.
Yeah.
Am I ignoring a man's socioeconomic status, particularly if he is broke, financially unstable, poor, or makes less money than I do?
We do this.
Calling spades spade.
Spades are being called what they are. And we're not saying that you got to have the, oh, nigga, the city girl mentality. It doesn't have to be the city girl mentality, but does he bring to the table what you could do for yourself? Because a lot of times we'll take him. We're the hero when it's like, he don't work right now, but I slide him a few dollars. Oh, he don't got a car, but I drive us on all the dates. He's not working right now, but I take care of this and he going to take care of that. All of that is a thing. And if your nigga has fallen on hard times, we get it.
That's different. Because things do happen. We're like, yes, your man did. And that's for you.
And there's
use
compromise
a discernment
too.
To differentiate between falling on hard times
and just
and
being
you just
a hard
bottom
times.
Of barrel.
Yeah. And there's compromise. Like if he's, we understand like paths, right? Maybe he's living at home to save for this. Maybe he's gotten rid of downsize this to pay off some debt. Maybe you could gauge a person's situation, but you know he don't work. He's staying at your house. He playing your baby PlayStation. You know, if it's stuff like that, you ain't got to succumb to that.
Yeah.
You don't have to. That's not your story.
And be honest with yourself.
Be honest. Be careful with me. Another question. Am I happy? Do I feel fulfilled? That's straightforward. Am I happy? Because a lot of times, like we said,
we adapt.
We adapt. And she's very adaptable. I'm just letting y'all know I'm adaptable. If you want to stay in the house, if you want to watch movies all day,
you'll make that your thing.
I'll make that my thing. But the thing is, am I fulfilled doing that thing? That's what matters.
That's the question you have to ask.
Yeah, like, okay, like, I can do this.
I can do it, but am I happy doing it?
Does it make me happy? Am I fulfilled? And you know what? Am I fulfilled with you dragging me through the motherfucking mud and me? And you know what? I seen something that was kind of... Go ahead.
No, I'm here for you.
I seen something funny that was like, you know that you're addicted to struggle love when... It was a thing on like Madame Noir. It was like your favorite artists are Mary J. Blige, Keisha Cole, and
K. Michelle
in that order. It was like that you post stuff like post
subliminal post
to his side chick, letting him know that he comes home to you.
Oh no,
you know, just shit like that, like struggle love riddled.
If you let me know, there's another chick, nigga. Go.
I don't even know if it's necessarily that you've let me know, but I know
you know,
and I'm just letting you know I'm the main
thing. The Monica song, "Use a Hoe." Use
yes.
A hoe
and
sideline hoe.
Oh yeah.
When you call his phone,
yeah.
Did he pick it up?
Exactly. And you know what? We sing.
We were making love.
What's smoking stuff? He's mine. You may have had him once, but I got him all the time.
No, I'm not playing those games. We glamorize those things. We do. Like he came to me. He chose me.
And Weekend. SZA.
You're like 9 to 5.
I'm the Weekend.
Oh.
Talking about my man is your man is her man.
Like, well, SZA claimed she didn't know.
Keep that man.
Yeah.
Keep him.
I don't want your ass just on the Weekend.
No, but that's the glamorizing.
That
like,
is the glamorizing.
I'll deal with that. I'll take this. I'm going to have you these days and your baby mama. The future vibe is struggle. The joy. And all the baby mamas struggle love. Like, you just dealing with a piece of a man.
Ooh.
I'm just saying. Peace. And Sierra got up out of that.
Sierra elevated and rose above.
She said no. I know why the cage bird sings. No.
Not the caged.
I'm just saying. What else is good?
I hate you. Okay, here's another question. Ooh.
Come on.
Ooh.
Come on.
Am I playing the role of a mother? Or a partner.
Am I raising up these niggas in a way that they should
go? We've quoted it multiple times on this show. You can't raise a man. I mean, you can. But I don't have kids for a reason.
Yeah. Raising up these niggas in the way that
they
should
go. I don't have kids
go.
For a reason. Why do I have to raise you? Because I feel like a lot of men will quickly fall into the son role.
Yeah.
They will quickly become your sons.
Yeah. All these niggas is my sons.
They will quickly become your sons if you allow it.
Yeah.
And next thing you know.
Give them a hanky.
Next thing you know, you'll be coddling this nigga. He'll be attached to your titty,
okay, swinging off, walking on the ground because he a big ass kid.
So ask yourself, am I mothering or are we partnering? You'll know.
Yeah, and both are nurturing, but we got to figure out which one's the mammy and which one is the bammy. Bammy is like baby.
Which one is mommy and which one is mama?
Yeah.
Once a nigga's calling you mama.
Mommy.
You gotta stop.
My ex nigga used to call me mama. I'm like, don't call me mama.
He called you mama. Germany, like, hey, that was kind of sick dynamic.
I was like, don't call me mama.
What would you say? What's up, mama?
You're like, hey, mama. I'm like, no. Swap that out with baby, baby girl, pudding pop.
Were you mothering?
Know. No, but the nigga needed nurturing.
You were playing the form of.
Here she is.
Come on, get your milk.
Okay, anyway, next. Am I normalizing infidelity, abandonment, or any form of abuse that can be verbal, emotional, mental, physical, sexual, spiritual, or financial? Like, what do you consider okay? What's okay in your book? What gets a pass?
Yeah, well,
you know,
like,
what's getting a C-level grade?
All niggas is going to cheat.
Yeah. Or he could be with his side hoe as long as he come home to me, as long as these bills are paid. As long as he's running me my check.
If my future nigga is listening to this, you can never. Not with willingness.
A pussy asshole could never. I'm telling you. Which falls into the next one. What is it?
I'm just tired. Okay, the next one, the last one. Am I making excuses for his or her actions?
The normalization.
Am I making excuses? Well, he didn't have a dad growing up. He's dealing with hard times right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
The black man, they try to keep the black man down.
The black man is disadvantaged. The whole tip.
I have to be strong for my black brothers because no one else has their back.
If we don't lift them up, who's going to honor the black man? If we're not there, who's going to be there for our kings?
Right.
The king talk.
You know when you're making excuses. You know better than we do. So just acknowledge that when you're making excuses for people.
And move in power.
Yeah. That's ultimately what this episode is about.
Move in power, sister.
Empowering you and us to move in power. We don't have to accept the narrative of struggle love. There is a meme that says, black women deserve love without struggle.
Come on.
Is that what it said? I want to read it verbatim. I think it do. It says something along those lines, and we do because other women of other races and cultures, they get it. So why don't we get the same?
And we're not saying all. Because there's some white women who deal with it. There's some, all races deal with it. But the whole thing is you here listening under the sound of my voice does not have to deal with struggle love. That's all we're saying. But we notice that it's riddled in our community. We see it.
Yeah.
Don't want to say more than, equal than, none of that. But if you're listening to this, you don't have to deal with it.
No, you don't.
That's it.
Black
That's what
women
it really
deserve
comes down
love
to.
That doesn't require suffering first. And shout out to our queens who do have that. Because I know some people personally that definitely got love without struggling first. And for that, I admire you and I hold you high.
Yeah, hats off.
Thank you for taking the bar off the floor. For us.
Okay.
Period. So we hope you all found something, if nothing more than some motivation.
Motivation.
From this episode. So now it is time.
To pick up your pen, we're dropping a gem. So today.
This weekend, we were at a wine party.
Yeah, at a wine party. And we were gifted with some mimosa in a can, basically. And it's the Soleil Mimosa Pineapple flavor.
You know we love a mimosa. This is better than the one you get at brunch.
It's made with the finest wine and freshest juice under the sun. This has about 8% alcohol. Again, the brand name is Soleil, so S-O-L-E-I-L. If you speak Spanish, don't at me, because I probably said that shit wrong.
I thought it was Soleil.
Soleil?
I don't know. Like sun.
Yeah, Soleil, Soleil, whatever.
It's good. It's a nice little refresher for, you know, at home brunches, night with girl talks and chats.
Yeah, it has about 8% alcohol. So nice little turn up, but not too wild. Your titties will stay in your shirt.
Period.
And that's the good part. You can find this at most places where they sell wine, spirits. Just look it up. We'll tag it and put the gem in the comments, whatever, whatever the fuck, the description.
Right, where it goes.
So that's almost it. So, we just want to remind you. If you want to send us your comments, your questions, your concerns, and you want us to talk about it here on the show, you can send those little letters, love letters, whatever they might be, to contact@theblackgirlbravado.com, and we'll offer our perspective, our insights, and talk about it. It's basically our girlfriend gag. We'll talk about it here on the show. We haven't been doing the girlfriend gag here on the show because we've been doing it on Patreon.
We have.
But if you're okay with us talking about it here on the show, you don't have to be, we don't have to say your name. But if you're cool with that, then send us your shit,
tea.
Your tea, and we'll gag about it.
All right. So we'll chat with you all next week. We hope you all have a blessed and amazing week.
Come on. Walk in power, sisters. Thrive.
All right.
Love you. Bye.